Shalom Rav Moshe, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Tzadi Zion. We are on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis at the bottom. We had been talking about the Mekoshesh Eitzim, what he was chayv for at the end of this week's Parsha, at least in Eretz Yisrael, Parsha Shlach. So now we're going to talk about who the Mekoshesh Eitzim was, or maybe who he wasn't. Tana Rabbanan with another Braisa. Mekoshesh Zeh Tzlofcha. That was Tzlofcha, right, five daughters, wanted his land in portion in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mekoshesh Eitzim was Tzlofcha. V'cheinu Omer v'ayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar v'yimtzu ish v'la'olu n'omer avinu meis b'midbar. Right, you have Gzeir Shava, Malahal and Tzlofchad, Afkan Tzlofchad, you have the b'midbar. So just like when his daughters said, avinu meis b'midbar, our father died in the midbar. And v'ayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, so that's exactly what it's referring to. That was Tzlofcha. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amr the Rabbi the Ben Maseira, Rabbi the Ben Maseira said, Akiva, well, you're in big trouble. Benkach u'benkach ata osi l'tinus adin. Regardless of whether you're correct or not, that this was Tzlofcha, you're going to end up having to hear, to stand judgment for that statement. Because im kidvarecha, if you're right, that it is actually Tzlofcha, so a Torah kisses so, v'ata megalo so. Right? The Torah hid his identity, and you revealed it. V'am lav, and if not, ata motzi laz, aloso tzadik. And if it's not true, so then you're saying motzi laz, you're saying motzi shemra. Right? People often think that Lashon Hara is making stuff up about people. That is not true. Lashon Hara is saying something that is true. So that would be the first accusation. Meaning you're saying Lashon Hara, the Torah hid it. So Rabbi Kiva, you're saying Lashon Hara about Tzlofchad. And if it's not true, so then you're motzi laz, then that's motzi shemra, that's worse. So the Gemara says, Ella, so at the top of Tzadi Zayin and Aleph, so where did Rabbi Kiva get it from? Hagamar Gzeira Shava. He had a Gzeira Shava. Right, so what do you want him to do? Right? Gzeira Shava, I'm not sure if we mentioned before, but Gzeira Shava is something that's passed down from a person's Rebbeim. So if you have a Gzeira Shava, so it's passed down from Rebbe to Rebbe, so people knew that this was Tzlofchad, right? He didn't just say it's dumb. Right? He got a Gzeira Shava, Bamidbar, Bamidbar. It must have been that's how Rabbi Akiva knew it. So what about Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? So Gzeira Shava lo gomar. So he didn't have that Gzeira Shava, so that's why he got upset. Right. Fascinating. Rashi says over here that who cares if he had a Gzeira Shava? Right, the Torah didn't say who it was straight out. Right, it just said Hamakoshesh, the guy who gathered sticks. So Rashi says, fascinating, that a Gzeira Shava is as if it's Mefurosh. Once you have a Gzeira Shava, a tradition that's passed down from Rebbe to Rebbe to Rebbe from Har Sinai, or from wherever he got it from Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess. So that says if it's Mefurish Batorah, and therefore it was not hidden at all, and therefore Rabbi Kiva did not think he was doing anything inappropriate. So Gemara says, Ela Mehecha Hava. So therefore, again, if you're telling me that he wasn't the Mekoshesh Eitzim, why did Tzlofcha die? Right, again, the Benos Tzlofcha came with a charge and said, listen, our father died in the Midbar, he was not in Korach's rebellion, and therefore he's entitled to a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Well, we want it. So what do you mean, Avinu Meis B'Midbar, where did Tzlofcha die from? So another story in this week's Parsha, in Shlach, he was one of the Mapilim at the end of, after the story of the Meraglim. So basically, Am Yisrael realized they made a terrible mistake, and they decide, you know what, we were wrong. We're going up there to Yisrael. Moshe says that's not a good idea. Kosh Baruch Hu does not want you to go up there to Yisrael. They said, you know what, we're going anyway. And those people got killed. Pasuk says, Vayakum Vayaksum Ar HaCharma, that the Amaleki and the Kanani came down and they killed those people. So that was, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that was where Tzlofchad died. Okay. Kayotzi Vadavar, similarly, right, you have another exchange between Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and Rabbi Akiva. So, Ata Omer Vayicharaf Hashem Bam Vayelach, last week's Parsha, or this week's Parsha, if you're talking in Eretz Yisrael, and Parsha's Baloscha. See, we're equal opportunity in Yana Dioma, right? Whether it's Shlach in Eretz Yisrael or Baloscha in Chutz Laretz. Vayicharaf Hashem Bam Vayelach. Hashem got angry at Aaron and Miriam for saying Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. He got angry at them, and Hashem's Vayelach, and Hashem left. Malame, that teaches us, Sha'af Aaron Nitzdara. That even Aaron gets saras. We know, we're familiar, right? Pasuk says straight out that Miriam gets saras and Bnei Yisrael waited for her for 7 days. But Rabbi Kiva learns that, that even Aaron gets saras. Not only Miriam. Amarlo, Yehuda ben Maseira, Akiva, Benkach, Ata Oti, Litein, Esedin. Regardless, of whether you're right or wrong, you're going to get judged for this. If you were right, the Torah hid this little detail, and now you're revealing it, that I really Aaron was guilty of Lashon Hara and got saras. And if you're wrong, so it's either Lashon Hara or Motzi Shemra. It's not good either way. So where did Rabbi Akiva get it from? You just make it up. Alex Aksiv, bomb. What do you mean? It says them. Hashem got angry at them, and he left. And all of a sudden, Miriam is Mitzaras. So Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, I open his Ifa Ba'alma. Yeah, Hashem got angry, but doesn't mean that necessarily he gave Tzaras to Aaron. Tanya command Amar after Aaron Nitztaro. There's a Tanya, the Brisa that says that even, you know, that agrees with Rabbi Akiva that even Aaron gets Tzaras. The Chthiv Pazak says, Vayifen Aaron el Miriam, Vahinim Tzaras Kashalek. That Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she had Tzaras. Tana Shepana Mitzaras. What does it mean, Vayifen Aaron? He turned to Miriam. And they were standing next to each other, or presumably, or they were discussing, or Hashem was yelling at both of them, whatever. But Aaron, what do you mean, Vayifen? So Shepana Mitzaras. So he had been healed, he turned away from his Tzaras, meaning that he, Rashi says, Kadam Venisrapa, that he was healed first. Then he saw that Miriam had it, and Aaron got it quickly, and then he was healed. And then Miriam was healed later, 7 days later. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. While we're on the topic, so Reish Lakish says, Achoshe B'Kseirim, someone who thinks bad things of someone who is innocent, someone who is kosher, Loke B'Gufo, he gets punished in his body. Right, as you see that Aaron and Miriam, and here's another example. Dechtiv, as the pasuk says, Vehein Lo Yaminu Li, Moshe said to Kosh Baruch Hu at the snare, Bnei Yisrael will not believe me that that you sent me, that Hashem sent them. Hashem knew that really Bnei Yisrael would believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem said to Moshe, "Hey, ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim." Right, famous Mordechai and David song. They are believers, the son of believers. Vata ein sof chol ha'amin, and you, in the end, you won't be one of. They're going to believe you. In the end, you won't have emuna. In a Kosh Baruch Hu. Hein ma'aminim, how do you know that they are believers? Dechtiv v'yamein ha'am, that in that topic, right after Moshe told them that the nation believed, b'nei ma'aminim, how do you know they're the sons of believers? V'ha'amin b'Hashem, and they had emunah in a Kosh Baruch Hu. Why does it say twice? Because them and their forefathers, they were b'nei ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. Ata, but you Moshe, ain't so chal ha'amin, you're not going to end up having emunah. Why? When? Sh'ne'emar, as the Pasuk says, yan lo ha'mantem bi, v'akti sheni. That's in Parshas Chukas, when Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock, instead of speaking to it, Hashem says to Moshe, you didn't have emunah in me, you didn't trust me. And how do you know that Moshe was punished for this statement? Stick your hand back into your chayk, into your cloak. Right, chayk literally means, I guess they translate it as a bosom, but it means inside the cloak between your chest and your clothing. Hashem said, stick it right, that's a tzaras. So that's how you know that Moshe was loke for his chosh being choshed b'ksher. Okay. Amar Rav v'tim Rav Yossi baruch hanina, a little bit more agata, and then we'll get back into hotzah. Mida tova me'maharas lavomi midas puranos. A good mida, something that good to come to a person, comes faster than the puranos, than the troubles. The ilu b'midas puranos, because by puranos, by troubles, the chesed the pasuk says, by yotziyav yinei yadom mitzaras kashaleg. Moshe took his hand out from between his cloak and his body, and all of a sudden there was mitzaras, had tzaras like snow. The ilu b'mida tova, but by a good mida, i.e. when Hashem was going to heal him, says, Moshe took it out from his chayk, from his bosom, and it was, behold, it was already returned to normal flesh. Already inside, between his shirt and his flesh, he had already returned to healthy looking flesh and been cured of its tzaras. Now, while we're on the topic of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vayivla Mate Aaron is Matosam, Aaron's the matet, its stick, swallowed all the other snakes, right? It turned into a snake. Right? All the chartumim and Mitzrayim did the same thing. So Aaron Rabbi Lazar, neich petoch neis. It was a miracle, inside of a miracle, that Aaron's stick, first of all, turned into a snake, or a tanin, some people say crocodile, okay. And then, what does it say? Vayivla matet Aaron es matosam. The Rashi quotes there on the pasuk. that the stick, it turned back into a stick, and then it swallowed up all of the other Paro's, Chartumim sticks. That's Nespetochnes, that's what Rashi says. The question that Marsha raises, and I forget what he answers, but it's a pretty good question, that doesn't sound like a Nespetochnes. That sounds like just two nisim. What's the nace inside of a nace? What's the inside? It turned into a snake, then it turned back into a stick, and ate all the snakes. That sounds like a nace and a subsequent nace, not a nech betov. Okay, either way, fine, it's good kasha. I forget what the answer is, ayin shan. Okay, back into the halachos of Otsar. We had mentioned in the Mishnah, we had been talking about a case where you take an item, you throw an item more specifically from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, and Rishus HaRabim is in the middle. So Rabbi Kiva there is going to hold that you are Chayiv, and the Chachamim are going to say that you are Potter. So Boy Rabba. Rabba asked the following question. Lamata me'asara pligi? What's the machlokas? Do they argue underneath 10 Tvachim? Again, we said Rishus HaRabim goes up 10 Tvachim, then above is a Makom Patur. So do they argue below 10 Tvachim? When I say below 10 Tvachim, meaning the item that was passed through Rishus HaRabim below 10 Tvachim. Uvaha pligi, and this is the machlokas. The Mar Sover Amrinan Kluto Kmashu Chodamia, the Mar Sover Lo Amrinan Kluto Kmashu Chodamia. And the machlokas is whether we say that an item that passes through the Rishus, the airspace, but below 10 Tvachim, is as if it came to rest. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds that yes, it came to rest, and therefore there was an Akir and Hanacha from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, and therefore you're Chayv. And the Chachamim say, no, it didn't come to rest in Rishus Rabim at all, and therefore you're Potter. Aval Lamala Me'asara, but above 10 Tvachim, Divrei Kol Potter. Everybody agrees, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim hold that you're Potter. V'lo Yalfinan Zorig Mimoshit. And we don't learn someone who throws from someone who passes. Right? We explained yesterday that the normal way, the way they did Hotzah, I guess Havara in the Mishkan, whatever it is, from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, was they would take the Kroshim, they would pass them from one Agola to the next. That was passing from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid over Rishus Rabim. For sure, you're going to be chayv for that. So therefore, when you throw it, is that the same thing? So when we say, if everybody agrees that you're potter for doing the same thing, except throwing instead of passing, so then lo yalfinan zorik mimoshe. We do not learn throwing from passing, because apparently they're not the same. So maybe that's the machlokas. O Dilma, or maybe the machlokas is actually the following. Lamala me'asara pligi. The machlokas is above 10 Tvachim and Rishus HaRabim, meaning the item passed through Rishus HaRabim above 10 Tvachim. Uva'a pligi, and this is the machlokas. Tamar sovar yalfinan zorik mimoshin, umar sovar lo yalfinan zorik mimoshin. Right, according to Rabbi Akiva, we learn zorik, throwing, from moshin, from passing, and therefore, if you throw something that's above 10 Tvachim, just like if you pass something above 10 Tvachim, you're going to be chayiv, like the Levim did, they were way above 10 Tvachim, so you're going to be chayiv for throwing. Umar Sover, the Chachamim say, no, lo yofina zorik mimoshi, we do not learn how throwing from passing. Aval lamata meyud, but underneath, inside 10 Tvachim, which is mamish, Rishus HaRabim, divrei kol chayiv, everybody holds that you are chayiv. My time, why? Because everybody agrees, kluter, k'mashu hun chodanya, that if it passes through the airspace, it's as if it came to rest in Rishus HaRabim. So which way is the machlokas? Is the machlokas lamala me'asara, above 10 Tvachim, and the machlokas is whether we learn zorik from Moshit, or is the machlokas where the item passed through Rishus HaRabim less than 10 Tvachim? And the machlokas is whether you say kluter k'mashu unchadamia, whether we view this item as having come to rest in the Rishus HaRabim or not. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hamilsa Ibayle the Rav Chista. I asked this question to Rav Chista, right? It's a good question. Upashta nihali Rav Amnuna. And Rav Amnuna said it was Poshin from the following Brisa, for the following case. Okay. No, I guess a Brisa. Mirushus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Ve'over Birshus HaRabim Atzma. Let's say you take something and you move it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, and you pass through the Rishus HaRabim Atzma, itself. Funny language. We'll talk about exactly what's going on here in a second. Rabbi Kiva, the Chayiv, the Chachamim Pochim. Same machlokas as we had in the Mishnah. The Rabbi Kiva says, you're Chayiv, and the Chachamim say, you're Potter. So, Midik Amar Rishus HaRabim Atzma, from the fact that you said it passes through the actual Rishus HaRabim itself, Pshita lamata me'asara pligi. It must be that we're talking about a case where it's beneath 10 tefachim. Because we said, Rishus Rabim is up until 10 tefachim, above it is Makom Patur. So the Mishnah must be highlighting that the item went through the Rishus Rabim itself, i.e. below 10 tefachim. And you see that they have a machlokas. Uvum. So therefore, you see that the machlokas is below 10 tefachim. And the question simply is, whether we say, kluta kama shehuncha damya. Okay, just looking at this 1 second. Just looking at Rashi for a second. Okay, right. Oh, sorry. We're not actually done with the proof. The Gemara says uvamai, and what? How did they get it from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Hayachid through this Rishus Harabim? Right. Again, remember we're talking about a case of Zorig. So if the case is not Zorig, that doesn't help us. So uvamai, how did he get it? He threw it. He walked it. He carried it. He dragged it. What's going on? Ilema b'mavir. If you're telling me that he carried it lamata me'asar hud mechayiv lamala meyud lo mechayiv, if you're telling me that he carried it, and only underneath 10 tefachim. Beneath 10 tefachim, you're going to be chayef. But above 10 tefachim, presumably you would be potter. That can't be true. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, hamotzi masri l'mala mi'asara chayef. Right? A person walks out with an item in his hand that's above 10 tefachim. Obviously, you're going to be chayef. Shekein masa b'nei kas. That was exactly how the b'nei kas did it, right? We talked about how they carried the kalim on their shoulder. Right, one third above, two thirds below the pole, etc., etc. We did the whole math. They carried it above 10 tefachim. Obviously, that's going to be chayiv. Elav, it must be that the case in the brisa here is bezorik. Yeah, they're throwing it. Ulamata me'asaru de'mechayiv, and beneath 10, you're going to be chayiv. Lamala me'asaru lo mechayiv. Above 10 tefachim, you're not going to be chayiv. And therefore, Shema Mino, we see from here that bekulut gamashon chadamia pligi. And the machlokas is whether it comes to rest when it passes through the airspace. And therefore, everybody agrees that above 10 tefachim, it's going to be potter, but below 10 tefachim, that's the machlokas. So Gemara says, you're right, in echanami, shma mina. This is what we see from here, that's the machlokas in our Mishnah. Okay. Upligid Rabbi Elazar. And they argue on Rabbi Elazar. Meaning Rabbi Elazar holds that this is not the machlokas. Rabbi Menuda's explanation of what the machlokas is, that's not necessarily what Rabbi Elazar says. Am Rabbi Elazar, mechayev aye Rabbi Akiva, filu mi lamala meyud. Rabbi Akiva would just say that you were chayev even above 10 tefachim. Right? Again, according to the explanation we just had, that everybody agrees that you're potter above 10 tefachim. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva even argues and says that you're chayev if you throw the ball through lamala mi 10 tefachim. And that what the Bryce has said, oh, if it passes through the Rishus Rabim itself, i.e. underneath 10 tefachim, that's l'oduyach ha'kocha de Rabbanan. That's to teach you that even the Rabbanan will be mekil in that case. That's to tell you the strength of their position, that they're going to be pater you even if the ball goes through lamata from 10 tefachim. Okay. Upliga de Rav Chilkia Bar Tovi. And not only does Rav Amnuna's explanation argue with Rabbi Elazar, it also argues with Rabbi Chilkiya ben Tuvi. That was Rabbi Chilkiya ben Tuvi. Toch shlosha, within 3 tefachim of the ground. If the ball goes through, I guess that's a bad example because it's going to go down, but I guess, let's say you're throwing, I don't know, a frisbee. That's probably easier to imagine going through the Rishus HaRabim less than 3 tefachim from the ground. So, divrei kol chayev. Everybody agrees you're going to be chayev. Lamala me'asara divrei kol poter. Above 10 tefachim, everybody holds that you're going to be poter. Migimal ad yud, from between 3 and 10. Again, why is between 3 and the ground chayev? Because we talked about the concept of lavu that's considered attached to the ground. So from 3 until 10 tefachim, it's then bani l'machlokas rebekiva rabbanan. That's the machlokas rebekiva rabbanan. Not like Rav Menuna said, it's from 0 to 10, but from 3 to 10, according to Rav Chilkiya bar Tuvi. Tanya mihachi, we also learned in a brisa, but toch gimel derei kol chayev. Everybody agrees that inside of 3 tefachim, so we're going to say lavud, and the item is considered as if it rested on the ground. Lamala meyud, above 10 tefachim, eno ele mishum shvus. That's not aser midaraisa, that is only aser midarabanan. That's what we've been saying before. Vimhayu rishuyos shalo, and if the rishuyos were his own, meaning the two, let's say, Rishus HaYachid, the guy is blessed to have 2 houses, and he throws it through the street from one house to the next, then mutter, then it's completely mutter. Migimel v'adasara, from 3 until 10 tefachim, Rabbi Akiva b'chayev v'chachamim potrim, and that's the machlokas we just mentioned. Amar mar, okay, fine, good, the Seder. That's the time. Namihachi, that the machlokes is between 3 and 10. Amar Mar, now Mar says, hold on one second. Rishus Shalom Mutter, if the two Rishus Hayachids were his own, so that is Mutter, right, for him to throw it through the Rishus HaRavim, above Yud Tvach. So Lema, let us say, Tavit Tiyufta Derav, that's a Tiyufta against Rav Shita. Which Shita? Itmar, like it was said, Shnei Batim B'Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRavim, if you have two houses on both sides, on either side, one on either side of the Rishus HaRavim, Rava Barahuna Amarav, also Lizrok Mizeh Lizeh, you're not allowed to throw from one to the next. Shmuel Amar, Mutter Lizrok Mizeh Lizeh. Shmuel says it's mutter for you to throw from one to the next. So apparently that's, Rav says, again, it's also for you to throw from one house to the next, even with Rishus HaRavim in between, even if you own both of them. Right? Right, again, just to clarify, that Bryce doesn't mention that you own both of them, but it must be a case where you own both of them, as Rashi points out over here, because even without the Rishus HaRavim in the middle, there's a gzera that you can't throw from one house to the next if owned by two different people, unless you have an Erev Chatzeros. Right? Back in the day, they used to share courtyards, so for you to throw from your house into your neighbor's house, you'd have to go through the courtyard, and that would be... that would be Asur because they didn't have an Erev Chatzeros. So it must, if Shmuel is going to say that it's mutter from throw to one, to throw from one to the next, it must be that you own both of them, because otherwise, if you forget the Rishus HaRavim, it would be Asur regardless. So it must be a case where you own both of them. And if and Rav here says that it's Asur, but before we said, right, if Mayu Rishus Shalo, then it's mutter. So the Gemara says, no, V'lav Mio Kimna Lahu, what's that case? That the two Rishus HaYachids are not on the same plane, meaning one is above and one is below. So, Dizimim, because what's going to happen? Sometimes Nafal, it'll fall, then you'll go down and pick it up and bring it back into the Rishus HaYachid. Why are we concerned for the item to fall and then you'll have thrown from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRavim? Because that, as Rashi explains, is misasik. That's not what you intended to do. Right? Even if you miss the Rishus HaRavim, right, you're throwing from, I don't know, one balcony to the next, and it falls and enters Rishus HaRavim, so that's not what you intended to do. That's not your intention b'chlal. That's misasik, and it's not going to be chayef. But either way, the concern would be that you would miss the balcony, excuse me, and then you would come and carry it back inside. Okay. Amr the Rav Chista Rav Amnuna, Amr Ila Rav Amnuna, the Rav Chista. Whichever way you say it, Rav Amnuna and Rav Chista were having shmooze, talking and learning, as they say, and the following question was raised. Mina ha-milsa damar rabbanan. How do you know this thing that Chazal say, kol ha-pachos mi-gimel kalav adami? Anything that's beneath three tvachim, it's lovewood, it's considered attached to the ground. As Rashi says over here, the real important thing for us here is not that it's attached to the ground, it's batel etzel Rishus HaRavim. It's considered as part of the Rishus HaRavim. So Amar Leih Lefi She'ef Shalo the Rishus HaRavim Shetilakit B'malakit V'Reitani. Because it's impossible for Rishus HaRavim to be completely even and flat. Those are items, those were like a carpenter's tools that it would kind of smooth out something flat. But Rishus HaRavim, right, so back in the day, again, you're not dealing with paved roads, and even paved roads, right, certainly around here in Eretz Yisrael, on Yerushalayim, so the roads are not flat, and it's impossible that there won't be some bumps. So you get something that's a little higher than 10 12, little bumps of the road, a little higher than Gimel 12, higher than, meaning you're going to have some gumas, you're going to have little mounds that are up to 3 tvachim. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. So it must be that that's part of the Rishus HaRavim. Even if you have a little mound, that's up until 3 tvachim. Gemara says, Yehachi Gimel Nami. So why is it up until 3 tvachim? 3 tvachim itself is also, I'm sure, these gumas, these holes, or these mounds, or these ditches, right, are going to be higher. They're going to be even 3 tvachim tall. Vesu, and also, Hadetan, that we should learn, that Mishal Shal Tfanos Milamala Lamata, if you take a wall from the top and make it go down. Rashi says, "Matchil la'arog dofnei asukah be'erev klapei mala, mishal shuvah klapei mata." Meaning, you create the walls of the sukkah. That's where you have a lot of love with shilas. Also, obviously, in Hilchos Erevin, which we'll get to, Mitzvah Shem, a couple of months. But if you make the sukkah wall from top to bottom, So imhein gavoim min ha'aretz shlosh tefachim, if they end up three tefachim above the ground, meaning it's higher than three tefachim off the ground, then psula, then the wall is no good. Hapachos migimok shera, less than three tefachim, so the wall will be good. Now, what does that have to do with Rishus HaRabim being uneven? Why would that have anything to do with it? So the Gemara says, just to clarify, Hasam, by that reason, that logic with the sukkah wall, Hayinu Taimu Mishim Dehavi Le Mechitza Shekidim Bokim Ba, because you need to have a sukkah. When you make a sukkah, a little house or whatever it is, you have to make sure that the gedim, the goats, can't get through it. If it's, you know, little tiny goats, I guess, could sneak under a hole in the ground that was three tzvachim or more. So you need to make sure that it was low enough to the ground that the goats couldn't come in, and it'd be like, you know, the wall would be legit. So maybe that question is not such a good question. So the Gemara says Tena Chalata. So fine. So that makes sense why it needs to be three tefachim from the ground. But what about Lamala Ma'ikadamimar? What about above? Right, we do find that if you have the wall goes up and there's less than three tefachim from the schach, so the schach is fine. Meaning it has to, the schach has to be, what's it called? No, that's not that. That is considered, that's, okay, that's a different halacha. I mean, the schach, oh, right, I mean, horizontally, not vertically, but horizontally, I believe it's horizontally. One second, hold on. Let me see the rash over here. I forget which case exactly. But we learned that three tefachim go up as well. Sorry, give me a second. Yeah, it's horizontally, meaning because if you have a wall enough, it goes all the way up, it's straight, that's fine. You don't need the schach to be three tefachim from the wall vertically, but you do need the schach to be three tefachim from the walls horizontally. So if it's within three tefachim, so we're going to say love with it, it's connected. So that obviously has nothing to do with Rishus HaRabim. So, I mean, and I get it with the baby goat thing, from, you know, in terms of why the walls have to be close to the ground, but what about other halachos of love? Well, that doesn't help whatsoever. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Ela kol pachos mishlosha l'kalavu dami. What is that? Hilchos ha-gemiri law. That is halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. And therefore, you don't need a makar. That's what we got passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Vait. Tan Rabbanu v'lo d'rabbeisa. Mershus ha-rabim, l'shus ha-rabim, v'shus ha-yachid ba-emsa. Right now, the opposite case. Right, you're in Rishus ha-rabim, and you want to throw something to the other Rishus ha-rabim, but there's a Rishus ha-yachid in the middle. So Rebbe mechayev v'chachamim p'turim. The Rebbe says mechayev, and the Chachamim say you're p'turim. Rav Shmuel d'amrit Ravayu. Both Rav and Shmuel say lo chayev Rebbe ela b'shus hayachid makora. That is only in a case of a shus hayachid that has a roof, and the item passed through the house, right? Throwing it from one street to the next through the window. D'amridan, because what do we say? We say that besa kaman demalya d'amri. We say that a house, when it has a roof, it's as if it's filled. So therefore, when the item goes through the window, it's as if it rested. It's as if the airspace is completely full, so it's as if the ball rested in the middle. And therefore, you pass from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim through Rishus HaYachid. You had a Hanachah and Rishus HaYachid, you're going to be Chayiv. Alva She'ein HaMakora, but if there's no roof, lo, then you're not going to be Chayiv. Amar of Chana, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mechayv Hayi Rebbe Shtayim. And therefore, it makes sense that, according to Shmuel, Rebbe would say you're Chayv twice. Why? Because you threw from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. That was a Hanacha. That's one. And then, when it went through from the house back into Rishus HaRabim, so your Koach made it go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. There was a Kira and a Hanacha, because we view the ball as if it came to rest in the house, which is filled. So then you are going to be Chayv too. Achas mishum tzav, achas mishum knasa. So that makes sense. Yossi Rav Chana v'kakashale. Rav Chana was sitting and he was thinking that this is not so poshut. Lamimra, does that mean to say that Mechayev Rebbe atolda b'makom av? Does that mean when you do a tolda in the place of an av, you're going to be chayev for both? And we said again, if you remember, knasa is the tolda of hotza. So One second. So how can if you did it in one shogeg, right? It's one action. So in the stomach, it's one shgaga. So why would you be chayav too? If I tell you, then we learn in a brisa. Rabbi Omer, tvarim hatvarim ela hatvarim. Right? If you remember this drasha from earlier, elu lametes malachos. Shenemar l'moshe b'sinai. This is how you know there are 39 malachos. Now, Rabbi of Yosef, mar aha masmila. Right. Sorry. No, that's the question. That meaning what? And what do we say? The whole point of having 39 malachos is that you're not chayiv, right, for a tolda, but makom ma'af. So why would you be chayiv twice? So Amalei Rav Yosef, mar aha masnila, right? The master, Rav Yosef said, the master taught it. The kasha led the Rebbe ad the Rebbe, and you had a kasha from Rebbe Shita to Rebbe Shita. Anan, but we ad Rebbe Yehuda masnisa. We taught this Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, and which we're going to explain in a second. For lo kasha lo, and there's no question whatsoever because that is Rebbe Yehuda's Shita. And you're going to see in a second that the Rebbe Yehuda is Mechayev. I told him the Makom Ha'af. The Tanya, like we learned in a Braisa, Meirshus Ayyaka, the Shus Arabim, the Avar Dalad Amos, the Shus Arabim. Let's say you take a ball in from inside your house and you throw it into the Shus Arabim, and it went Dalad Amos in the Shus Arabim. So that's technically two, could be two malachas. That's Hotzah, right, throwing a ball out, and Mavar Dalad Amos. So Rabbi Yehuda mechayev chacham and potrim. Rabbi Yehuda say you're chayev, chacham say you're potrim. And now Rabbi Yehuda Marshmuel, this is what we had before. Mechayev hayi Rabbi Yehuda shtayin. You're going to be chayev for two. Achas mishum otzah, one for the otzah. The achas mishum avara, one for maver dalad amos. Disagadait the chaduhum de mechayev. And if you can tell me you only chayev one, mechal de rabbanan patri the gamre. If you tell me the rabbanan patri you. What's the case? You're taking something from Shusha Yaakov, the Shusha Rabbin, the Chachamim say you're potter? Can't be your potter. There must be that they're arguing about a second chiyuv. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv, i.e. you're chayiv too. And the Rabbanan say you're potter. You're only going to be chayiv one. This Gemara says we might. How do you know that that's pshat in the Braisa? Dilma lo olam emel Rabbi Yehuda chadahu de mechayiv. Maybe. Rabbi Yehuda does not say you're chayiv two, you're chayiv one. For Rabbanan pati the gamrei, and really the Rabbanan do say you're potter completely. Ve'echi mishkachas lo. Therefore, what's the case? How could Rabbanan say you're potter? Kigon de Amar, he said, ad denafkalei the Rishus Rabin tanuach. When it gets to the Rishus Rabin, I want it to rest. Meaning, my goal, the person's goal is that it should rest as soon as it gets to the Rishus Rabin. Sorry, excuse me, just having got to clear my throat 1 second. Oh. Sorry, I just had a bug in my throat. Hopefully not an actual bug, but yeah. Alright, sorry. Right. Can go to Amar ad nafkali the Rishus Rabin Tanurach. The person, his intention, his machshava was that it should rest, stop, have a hanacha as soon as it gets into Rishus Rabin. Uvahakam again. This is the machlokas. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Amrin and Klut to Kamasha Huncha Damian. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we say Klut to Kamasha Huncha. And therefore, it's as if it rested the moment. Like, the moment that it went into Rishus Rabim, and that was exactly what the guy wanted to do. And therefore, Vis Avid Le Machshava, so then he did his Machshava, and therefore he is Chayev. For Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold no. Lo Armin Inkutu Kamashav and Chadanya. And therefore, what happened? He threw it. It went four almost past where he wanted it to go. And therefore, Vis Avid Le Machshava, so he didn't do what he wanted to do. And therefore, he's going to be Potter. I've all told him, Makam Av, Lo Machayev Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not be Machayev you. For a tolda in b'makom ha'av, he's not going to be chayav you for havara dalad amos, and in the face of doing hotza as well. So Gemara says lo sagadai tach. Don't think this. This is not the pshat. You'll see that because Rabbi Yehuda Mosif the Tanya, because we're not in a price. Rabbi Yehuda Mosif afashovid v'amidatik. Rabbi Yehuda added to the lamentes malachos two malachos that have to do with weaving. With using the loom to weave, I don't know. Again, I'm so woefully lacking in understanding of what exactly this was. But basically, two malachos that you would do in the weaving process, setting up strings and threads on a loom, And they are different malachos in Yerchai. So Amrilo, they said to him, Shobet are Ayub Bechal Mesech. Shobet is included with putting the strings on the actual loom. Medakdek are Ayub Bechal Oreg. And Medakdek is included with the Oreg is weaving. So there's no separate chiyuv for them. So Gemara says, "My love, Davdinu l'Tzarvay b'Hadi Adadi." Aren't we talking about you did both of them at the same time? Therefore, you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you should be chayiv for a tolda in the place of an av, right? Meaning, because the pshat is that even though they're toldos, that's pshat. Meaning, sorry, not that they're adding to the list of avos malachos, but that even though they're toldos. What's a pshat here? It must be that he's adding toldos, because otherwise there's no proof. Right. Meaning, okay, fine. Meaning that's fine. Umimai, and how do you know that? So the Gemara says right. So the Gemara says mimai. That you don't know that that's true. Dilma lo olam da'avad le'lechud v'har le'lechud. How do you know you did it together? Maybe they did one after the other. Rabbi Yehuda told him a makam av lo kama chayev, and Rabbi Yehuda really does not hold that a tolda is chayev in if you do it with an av. Uvah pligi, and this is really the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda savar hani avos ninu. Rabbi Yehuda said when he added them, mosif, they're actually avos. Rabbanan savari hani toldos ninu, and Rabbanan say that they're toldos, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if you do a tolda and an av together, you get two. But he holds that these are two different avos, and the Rabbanan say no, they're toldos. And Teda, you should know that that's actually true. That these were, that Rabbi Yehuda said that they were avos. Tekatani Rabbi Yehuda Mosif, because that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. He's adding these two malachas. That's how I explained originally. I just kind of jumped the gun a little bit. That he's adding these two malachas to the list of the 39. So, yeah, Marta Vishlama avos. I get it. Right? If he's saying they're avos, right? My Mosif, what's he adding? Mosif avos. He's adding avos. Ella, Iyamarta toldos, or if he's adding toldos to the list, so my Mosif, what do you mean he's adding? Right, the 39 malachos are avos. That must be that he's adding avos, and therefore it makes sense that that's how you understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and that he doesn't necessarily hold that you would be chayav two chataos for a tolda and an av if you did them together. Izmur Nami, it was also said, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Darum Tevayo, Lo Chiyav Rabbi Yehuda El Achas. Again, Rabbi Yehuda would say you're only chayav for one chatas in that case where you threw that item. Okay, and Dershus Rabbi, and went Dalad Amos, etc. Okay. Amalei Ravina Leravashi. Ulamai Desalik Adaita Meikara, and according to this Shita that we held that originally, before we kind of threw it out, right, that Tebechayav Hayy Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, that Rabbi Yehuda would say you'd be chayav too for throwing this item from Rishus Yachat to Rishus Rabbim and through Dalad Amos, meaning you're chayav for the Otsah and you're chayav for the Havara Mavir Dalad Amos. Ila Hacha Kabayilei, so the Gemara says, if the guy wants the item to be there, lahacha lo boyle, and here it doesn't where he wants it to land, ilahacha ka boyle, lahacha lo ka boyle. Oh, the Gemara says, mimanoshach. Meaning, how are you going to be chayiv to? How does that work? If he wants it to land where the item lands, so dalad amos and drushus ravim, so he doesn't want it to land right as the drushus ravim starts. So therefore, why is he chayiv for the maver dalad amos? And if he wants it to land right outside, right? How do we say he's chayav for the havara and the utsa? He's chayav for the havara because you have klut kamashun chodamia. The item comes to rest right outside the rishus ravim, the rishus yachid. Therefore, then it goes another 4 amos, and that's what he wanted to do. But iman of shach, if he wants the item to land where it did, i.e., 4 amos in the rishus ravim, so the hacha loka boyle. So he doesn't want it to land right outside. So therefore, you didn't have kavana for it to stop there, and even though you say klut kamash hurchodamia, you're only going to be chayav for what he wanted to do, i.e., just throwing it the 4 amos into the rishus harav. And if he wants it to land right outside the house, so lahacha lo kabayle, he doesn't want it to go another 4 amos. So in manav shach, he's not going to get either way. He's not going to be chayav two chataos because you can't say that he did the Havat Ma'avir Dalad Amos B'Kavana. So Amalei, what's the case? So Ravashi said to Ravina, Ba'omer kol makom shetirtze tanuach. The case is where he wanted, I wanted to land anywhere where it lands. So therefore, he's totally fine with however it landed. and when he what's it called? So when you have klutu k'mashenurcha damir right outside the Rishus HaYachid, so he's fine with that, and he's also fine with that with when it travels another Dalat Amos. So therefore, his kavana was done for both the Otsah and for the Mavir Dalat Amos, which is Rav, and he's going to get two, according to that original understanding, but with some of the kavana that seems to throw it out. Okay. A little more, we'll get to the other two dots, and then we'll call it a day. Pshita, you know what? Yeah, tomorrow's a little bit shorter. So, okay, we'll stop here.